Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I'm John Batchelor. The Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Albanese, come to Washington to sit with the President and complain about a decision by the Trump administration to impose a tariff 10% or 12% back and forth on goods from Australia. Why? Because the U.S. has the power to enforce labor laws, especially accusing Australia of participating in forced labor. That's right, forced labor, Australia. I welcome my colleague and friend of many years, Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs and StrategicPolicy.com, to help me understand forced labor in Australia. Gregory, this puzzled me right away because I thought, what have I missed about Australia? I've been talking to you and other colleagues of ours for years. So I looked up forced labor. Gregory, the Prime Minister mentioned when he was in Washington, you have tougher and more labor laws than the United States does. To your knowledge, is there forced labor anywhere in Australia? What would it look like? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I do remember the era of forced labor in Australia. It was when my father made me get out of bed in the morning and go and get a job. But that was as far as it went. The reality is that President Trump has imposed these tariffs on a broad range of countries using this excuse that there has been a component of forced labor in the products exported to the United States. Now, that's pretty thin on the ground, and certainly it doesn't apply to Australia, which, as you have pointed out, and as even as Prime Minister Albanese has pointed out, it doesn't apply to Australia. Australia's laws on that are much stricter than even those of the United States. So it gets to the stage where you've got a socialist prime minister who is fighting against protectionism and a free market president who is fighting for protectionism, and it makes you wonder who's left and who's right in this debate. Now, Australia is not going to be affected dramatically by these new tariffs which President Trump has imposed, largely because it applies to exports such as aluminium or aluminium products and steel products, and the Australian exports of these two products is negligible within the overall scope of Australian exports and the Australian economy. So it's more of a symbolic thing. Is why are you putting spurious taxes and tariffs on your allies when your allies are the ones who are literally working hand in glove with you on a broad range of economic and security matters, and social matters for that matter? This is where I think a lot of traditional US allies, and Australia has been the most significant of these, far more than the United Kingdom, for example. Australia's fought with the US in every war since the Boxer Rebellion. So the interesting thing is, why is President Trump doing this? Why isn't he singling out his old allies? And part of the reason is that President Trump wants to have the United States not dependent on any alliance structure. He's broken all of the old alliances one way or another, either deliberately and legally or by default. And that includes NATO. It includes particularly the NORAD treaty with Canada and the like. So what it's going to do with Australia, I think, and with President Albanese in particular, because he's no great fan of President Trump personally, is that I think even this socialist government in Australia will start to look at what the Canadians are doing, which is lessening their dependence upon the United States, not breaking friendship, not interfering with the social or operational links between the two societies, because, in fact, the AUKUS agreement with the US and Australia and Britain is going along famously at an operational level, at an administrative level. It's just that the president of the United States disregards Australia and the United Kingdom in many other respects, just as it does with Canada. So the Canadians and the Americans are still going to be cooperating. They're still going to be, you know, a kinship there between English-speaking North American countries. Same with Australia. This kinship will continue, but the legal and political structures and ties are weakening day by day at this stage. And this is not good for the United States long term.
You mentioned Canada. I talk to Canada routinely, especially Conrad Black, and we talk about this very same item. And repeatedly, whenever there's an incident like this most recent tariff, which is meant to replace another tariff mandate that was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, it comes to me to say to Canada, and I say it about Australia as well, this is the opinion of one man who is term limited. One man. It will go away, and all of this will go away. Does Australia know that, or are they taking advantage of this politically, the way Mark Carney does? He campaigns as if Canada's under attack. How is it played in Australia?
Oh, well, it's not played much at all, actually. Albanese himself is very unpopular in Australia. The problem is that there's no great political debate underway there as yet, which looks likely to shake the foundations of the Albanese government, or for that matter, the Labour Party governments, which are in pretty much all of the states of Australia. So you've got this situation where people are shrugging their shoulders to a great degree.
Right.
What's going to affect this is if Australia doesn't start rebuilding its infrastructure and its manufacturing and its energy processing capabilities. But the interesting thing is, yes, people are aware that President Trump ends his political career to a degree with the end of his term in a couple of years. So after that, what? The question is not whether the Trump changes will go away. It's whether the style of operating, like particularly with the tariffs and the like, and the way allies are treated, whether that will change under the successor administration. And from what we can see now, the successor administration could well be someone like the current Vice President J.D. Vance or Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And we've yet to see whether the Democrats will, in the next 2 years, field a viable candidate for the presidency. And we can say that the Democrats or those two potential Republican candidates would probably be somewhat more traditional in their approach to allies. I mean, why throw away, you know, perfectly good allies when you don't have to, especially when the United States, for this four-year term, has become increasingly I won't say isolated, but going it alone and making unilateral decisions which impact the world.
Gregory, I know you Australians. You speak straight, very straight. Saying Australia is a forced labor is not straight. That's false. Australia doesn't put up with false, correct? That's what I've learned. You don't. You say, mate, that's wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean, and in fact, the use of that stick, if you like, was something which will antagonize more Australians. Look, President Trump had a huge following in Australia. If anything else, he gave hope to the anti-Labor Party people in saying, well, there is hope that we can do away with all of this over-government that we've been having, the over-regulation, the bureaucracy, the lunatic left stuff. But now President Trump is undermining himself by the use of these things. And by the way, it could well be that was the one clause or legal factor through which he could impose the new tariffs. And he may not have been able to be too selective about how he imposed them. If he had any sensitivity, I think he would have said, okay, we'll use that clause for some countries, but our good allies, X, Y, and Z, we will absolve them from responsibility in that.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, strategicpolicy.com, the author of the new book about constitutional monarchy, noble state, going to Cuba. I'm John Batchelor.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.